If you're a product marketer, you need to listen to this interview with Austin Castleman, where he explains the manufacturing process. He has helped major brands and startups alike to be very successful in making good products at a good price. And he explains in this interview a lot of the process of how to be successful with your manufacturing. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClaire, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. I'm really excited to have on my show today, Austin Castleman, who is one of the owners of implementnow.com, as well as a clothing company called catchingdeers.com, which is really cool. You got to check out both these websites. We're going to have them in the show notes, but I want to dive in. Let's talk first about Implement Now, which is a company that Austin runs that helps both big and small companies find manufacturing. That's the short way of saying it. And he is an expert at doing this. He can find manufacturing, save money for building out new products, bringing them in, not just from China, but from other countries around the world, and really does this as well or better than anybody that I've ever met. So I'm really excited for this interview. You're going to learn a lot if you have any intentions of trying to find a manufacturer for your product and bring it into market. Austin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Excited.
So if you can maybe finish out that introduction and tell us a little bit more about Implement Now, what does your company do?
Yeah, we work with leading brands, influencers, entrepreneurs, and just help them build efficiencies to effectively manage manufacturing and supply chain from product development to manufacturing to logistics because their business success depends on it. And really, an entrepreneur to a Fortune 100 company should be focusing on the marketing and distribution of their company. And when they get caught in the manufacturing, it really handcuffs them. And so we've built a team to be able to start it and finish it, kind of be their B to Y. If they've got their A and their Z, usually it's a dream Z, but it is a Z. And we kind of come in and connect that bridge in between those two.
Great way to say it. And before the show, we were chatting about some of the amazing brands that you currently work with, as well as startups and inventors, right? But I think it really explains a story about how good you guys are at what you do. So can you share some of the big brands that you guys work with?
Yeah, we were blessed to be able to work with Swarovski, Red Bull, Kendra Scott, Kate Spade, Vera Bradley, the NBA, the NHL. Just those are kind of some of the ones that rattle off, and just love working with them. Keurig Dr. Pepper, we just picked up, and it's just fun being able to be with their teams. And again, usually people are just so great about their mission and their vision. It's what they're paid to know and do. It's just the implementation process is not what they went to school for. It's not what their MBA was for. It's not what their passion's about. And we just come alongside and just become that great partner. Blessed to say, we're not looked at as a vendor really within our relationships. It's being that partner, and they really put that pressure on us, but that's the pressure we love, to make sure we're implementing. Our tagline is manufacturing your mission. We want to help people's mission, and that's what I believe our company does best.
You know, I love the fact that you work with, I mean, massive world-known brands like that, but you also work with startups and inventors. And I think, you know, if we're speaking to a lot of our audience, are business owners, small business owners, right? So that many of them are, you know, millions of dollars in sales, maybe tens or hundreds even, but they're not these billion-dollar brands for the most part. And some of them are startups, right? They're just getting started. And so often you think as an inventor or entrepreneur, you can do it all yourself. And manufacturing is one of those things where I've run into, as I talk to our clients,
markets as in their early stages, and they say, I'm just going to go to Alibaba.com and find a manufacturer, and you know, that'll be fine. Why do I need to work with some other, you know, vendor to really help me through the process? And I think the fact that you guys work with these massive brands, even though they have internal teams that also, you know, help with the manufacturing, but they hire you, right? They work with you because it's so important to have somebody with true expertise on finding the right manufacturer. And there's more to it than just the cost, right? There's obviously that's important, is finding a manufacturer or a factory that can help you bring down your cost, but there's so much more to it. And I love, you know, before the interview, again, you and I were talking about the interview process when you bring on a potential new client to work with, that there's questions you ask to them to figure out if they're going to be a good fit or if, you know, what they've done so far that you can help with. Would you mind sharing more about that process? So when you talk to somebody new, whether it's a big company or a small company, explain that interview process and what the important questions are that you ask them.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head there. And it's so funny how many times we walk in and what you just said, they have already done. They have already gone down Alibaba's path. They have already tried to do it themselves, and we get caught coming in playing cleanup. And I always look at them saying, how much time did we waste before you met me? Yeah. And then we have to scramble to make up 6 to 8 months worth of just total loss of money, total just loss of viability for their company because they thought they could do it themselves. And again, you always have to respect the entrepreneur. It is their baby. It is their livelihood. Sometimes they have everything they've ever made and savings put into this. But when we go down and we sit down with them, we're looking for just a couple of questions from them to understand what is this? Help me understand what you're doing. Do they have a business plan? Right? There's a lot of inventors. There's very little entrepreneurs. And so there's always a qualitative, quantitative process, and everyone has the qualitative dream. But has anyone put that into a quantitative process of a 1-3-5 year business plan that shows really what's their distribution? That's what it comes down to. You know, I always believe that no good idea lacks capital. So a lot of times people will come to me and say, you know, will you invest in this? And we do look at every potential client as an investor would look at this, right? Do they have a marketing content strategy? You know, something you guys do so well, bringing products to market, is vital. You have to have followers. You have to have an audience before you could sell them.
Yeah.
And then we look at the manufacturing side. Well, that's what we're so good at. So it just leaves a distribution. Are you direct to consumer? Are you wholesale? Who are your contacts within wholesale? Because that's a whole different avenue. And so we just make sure we sit down and we feel good that they have a plan for this product and they're just not a dog that bit the back of a bumper going 80 miles an hour.
Love it. And then let's talk about the product development side too. So once you bring them in, you make sure that they have a plan that's viable and you're kind of helping along that process. Okay, now it's time to start working with them and help them if they're a fit for you guys. So talk to us about that process that helps you guys to be so successful with your clients when you onboard them.
Yeah, so in the meeting that we would have, we'd have our creative director and our business development director, and we'd sit down and we kind of do three areas of our company. We do soft goods, which would be any type of cut and sew. We do hard goods, which usually incorporates a mold, or we do packaging. And there are people that just produce packaging and make a lot of money. And so those three areas require different people inside of our product development team. This is all in-house. So I've been very blessed to be able to get some of the who's who from brands and companies all over the country to move to Nashville, kind of buy in to this vision that we want to help more than just one person. So they were working for a particular brand. We want to be able to help all brands. So if you're a cut and sew, soft good, you're working with fashion designers, you're working with, you know, pattern makers and graphic designers. If you're have a hard good with a mold, you're working with our engineers. You know, if you have packaging, you know, you're working with a packaging specialist, graphic design, because printing on packaging is so different than any other type of form to maintain certain colors and finishes that you're doing. Technology's really come a long way for packaging as well. So it just depends on where you're at. So we kind of bring that team in to make sure we understand what are you trying to do. We love to create vision boards, mood boards, show trends. We're very, very into trends to be able to make sure that we're matching, because you know, there's nothing more frustrating to sit down with someone who is really obvious that they're a year behind.
Yeah.
So they come to you and, you know, 2019 was the year of camo. That's just what is amazing. What's trending for 2020, ironically, is the year of tie-dye. Now, if it happens, I don't know, but you did see a lot of camo in 2019. So if you have someone come to you in 2020 and say, hey, there's this amazing sweater with camo, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, that was last year. Yeah, you're not going to sell anything.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, you have to be able to understand is how much does this person know, and are we really coming alongside and implementing that, or am I getting caught telling them how to run their company? And that's usually when we exit.
That makes sense. And let's, if we think about the manufacturing process, as I kind of alluded to earlier, cost is obviously an important part of that, right? You want to find a factory and an option that's going to save money in the manufacturing, but there's so much more to it. So what else do you look for when you're working to help someone find the right factory, the right manufacturing option? What other factors are important to them?
It's efficiencies, bottom line efficiencies. Cost is amazing. Cost is very important, but that's only one side of what we're trying to do. And depending on what you're making, it also depends on what country you're in. And, you know, there's different types of countries producing different types of commodities at different speed levels, if you will. And you have to just understand what is your full plan. Any factory needs the plan. They get so nervous when you come to them and say, we like one order of this, that scares them to death. And not to say that we don't know, of course, well, how do I start? What do I do? They would rather you say, my projections are this for a half a year, for a year, and be able to test those, be able to put in test orders that will be able to show that, so that then you can navigate with them, grow with them. Because there's production lines or what is the bottleneck in manufacturing. So price is important. Efficiencies, I think, are more important. And then just making sure that you have a full plan to be able to not be frustrated as you're walking through the process and you're not hitting expectations. Because usually when people find us, they are so excited.
Yeah.
They felt like everything is done, but then they magically turn us into the Keebler elves that live inside the tree and make cookies, and they don't understand why we haven't produced the item the second day.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, guys, this is a process. It takes a long time, especially the first time you do something, to be able to bring that product to market.
Very true. You mentioned how you work with different countries, and different countries are good at producing different types of products. Again, so many entrepreneurs look to China, and probably because of Alibaba is part of it, right? And just the kind of the easy route to go. And it is the right place for some products sometimes, right? But the last thing you want to do is be stuck with a one country strategy when we have tariff increases, for example, right? And you have no other options out there. And you guys, I believe, how many offices do you have around the world?
We have 7 that we work within with different countries that we are in that have different factories attached to those. So it's what you just said is so important. We picked up so many clients and some massive, massive clients that I kind of left the meeting wondering, how did they not have a plan for this?
Yeah.
How did they not see the tariff cut? Like, this was not a surprise in one bit. And I mean, you have a very vocal president, regardless of your political beliefs. He's still a very vocal president, usually via Twitter. And you're going to know what he's thinking or what he's doing or the pressure. And we know, and you can just 101 culture of China, they're not going to put up with that.
Yeah.
And so seeing this trade war happen, you know, we had to be very, very, very quick on our feet. And so understanding, you know, majority of things we can do, how do you get that out of China? What is China known for? Well, they're really known for their labor, right? They have quick, cheap labor to be able to assemble and make things. What are you able to do outside of China that may be more expensive, but it's not more expensive once you add that tariff to the China price. So that's where we were able, we moved a lot of things to Vietnam. You have to have a bigger volume, and they are a little more expensive. But when you add that tariff of 35%, 25%, we moved a lot of our clothing to Pakistan, Peru. Now, you have to have an incredible time and planning for those countries. They are not quick. They'll tell you that they have the time, and America has the watches, and it's their running joke. But with that, they will give you the finest quality at the most fair and reasonable price if you give them that time.
And do you find it, is it different in terms of how you work with, let's say, I imagine it is, but you'll answer this better than I could, working with the factory in, let's say, China versus Peru? What are some of the differences you have to deal with?
Being able, you know, everything will always revolve around integrity. You know, when you say something, you have to do it. And when you kind of go back and forth, China is known for over-promising and under-delivering. The other countries are vice versa. They know the Western world almost better than China in the sense of how Americans work, how fast we move. You know, every other culture has a siesta or, you know, a break, or, you know, you'll go to visit them and you're eating dinner at like 8 and you're like, I'm in bed by 8 in America.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really get started until 9:30.
Yeah.
But they have a plan, they execute it. You have to be able to talk with data and not just scream to move. So you really have to have a plan when you go to these other countries and show the production and how they can dedicate production lines to you and how you can keep them open. You know, when Spanx moved to Central America from China, you know, they were able to fully integrate because they were able to show the production, how many they need, how many lines, how many yield, and be able to prove out that they were justifying all of this time, all of this labor. And it's just, and then what you save on shipping is unbelievable. So if you can win by having a plan and work in Central South America, you're cutting, there's no duty, you're cutting your shipping time in half and your price in half. And so there's all types of wins that you can have by just having a plan.
Yeah. Thinking long-term as opposed to just the next order, right? Or just the next month.
Which is what Alibaba wants to suck you in on.
Yeah.
Right? They want to suck you in on, you have an idea, great, place it. And we don't care if we ever talk to you again.
Yeah, very true. It's a single order, one and done oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have been amazingly successful building your business. And I think there's some marketing learnings probably to share, you know, even for the listeners that might be a product business owner. Obviously, they can learn a ton from you on sourcing, manufacturing, but I think also on how you've built your business to be successful. So how do people, or how do companies find you? What's kind of been your main source of success for Implement Now?
Usually, you know, people just find us through referrals. I think when you get into the consumer good, you know, something I have is a close circle of friends. You know, Casey Holiday, who started Kalo Silicone Rings, and Nate, who started Roan Clothing. You know, you've got these guys that are, you know, we're circled together, we're helping each other, we're talking about problems. And through that, someone would say, hey, I need this or I need that. And, you know, Nate's amazing at that. Casey mastered this. And, you know, Austin's great at this. And, you know, just, you know, that, and that circle's a lot bigger than those two guys. But, you know, you're able to kind of do that. But then also inside of your core clientele, you know, they sometimes move around. And someone may go from, like, for example, our buyer from Keurig Dr. Pepper was at State Farm. And he moved to State Farm and he instantly saw a problem with a certain product that we're coming out with one of their brands, A&W Root Beer. And, you know, we were able to really come in and really help. And so as long as we are, at the end of the day, we have 8 core values. And one of our core values is valued relationships, working with people that want to work with us. We already know the value we're bringing. the only thing we ask is just that respect, right? If this is a, man, that's a great company, put them on the bid list, we're just going to quietly back out. You know, y'all seem to know what you're doing. It's great. That's not for us. Because yeah. when we're in, we are all in. You get my whole team, we're 100% all in.
And you mentioned to me previously that you guys have not spent a single dollar on advertising, which is phenomenal. To build a company as big and as successful yeah. as yours. And I think it speaks to relationship. Part of that, I found that, you know, with our business as well, when you do a good job with, you know, the clients and partners you work with, obviously it brings in referrals. But I think, you know, maybe some advice for those that might be starting out is, you know, you talked about your connections that you've built. And some people may be listening to this thing, well, I don't have those connections, right? But the beautiful thing is the digital space has really helped us to get past a lot of hurdles that 20 years ago we couldn't have done with at least time, right? The investment of time behind it. Where, for example, on LinkedIn, just joining groups of other people that are like-minded of you, right? That if you're an inventor or entrepreneur listening, reach out to other successful inventors and entrepreneurs. And we all want to help each other, right? When we're in this space with similar most of us, right? The good people that really in your competitors will want to help with you. We all kind of raise each other's tide in order to all be more successful. So seek out others, get to know others, join groups, et cetera. And I think the clients that we work with that are the most successful, you know, we help with the marketing, but they've been able to find vendors and partnerships and even distribution outlets because of the relationships they've built with other successful marketers or building relationships with people like you, Austin, where, you know, you've got a ton of relationships. So when you hire a vendor that has those relationships, now all of a sudden your ability to talk to other industries grows, you know, tenfold or even a hundredfold, depending on who you're working with. So I love that. I think the relationship piece is so important, you know, in a big successful business like yours, it's been around for a while, but also in, of course, brand new businesses that are just getting started.
So I mean, you're preaching, like, keep going. That's exactly it. It's all about relationships and it's all about helping each other. I mean, I know the CEOs of some of the largest brands and it's some of my best relationships because in the day, it's just, we're all the same. We're all just trying to make it, period.
Yeah. It's all people at the end of the day, right? You think about this where someone seems so different, but at the end of the day, we've all started in the same place, right? And some make it more successful more quickly, whatever, but you know, they're willing to help. I absolutely agree with that. So I'd love to hear, let's kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about products specifically. And I want to talk about one that you own and run. But before I do that, do you have any interesting, I'm sure you have 1,000 of these, but right, what comes to mind is a fun product story that you've worked with where, you know, you've kind of been able to see them, you know, as you talk about your interview in the beginning, how you find out where they're at and make sure they're on the right path, or whatever. But maybe you've seen somebody transform something that was okay into something that was a phenomenal success.
Yeah, I think most recently we're in it right now and I love every one of my clients and I'm very thankful for all of them. One particular thing that we are trying to do is work with a company called OME Gear. And you can go to omegear.com, but it's two ladies, Julie and Stacy, that I consider myself a very passionate person. It's how I lead my culture here at my company, but they rival my passion for sure with how just awesome they are and dedicated. And these are startup entrepreneurs that just have a fire underneath them, but they've created a 5-in-1 patented chair that can be a cart carrying things, a chair, a lounge chair, a hire chair, a camping cot. And it's unbelievable whether you're going to the beach, whether you're going, you know, camping, you know, wherever you are, this is the ultimate kind of chair that is made with excellence, that is made to withstand any type of wear and tear. And it has just been a awesome experience. It has definitely been about a year in the making, from engineering to prototypes, to changes, to new changes, to new prototypes, and then finally, getting this rolling. But it's been such incredible. It's like my dream case study where you talk to people and they call you And we, you know, we've become great friends and we kind of can chirp each other where they're like, hey, is the chair done? We just sold another X thousand units to ABC and you haven't made it yet. And I just love that. Like, it's so much fun to be able to, you know, call up and see them so fired up because of the success they're having. But also, you know, we've taken them to China twice so they could see the process and understand and see it with their own eyes, because it is so important. It is so important that whoever you're using for manufacturing, whether it's us or someone else, is transparent. We know the value that we provide to our people and to our partners and clients, and the transparency is what we pride ourselves in, knowing that we've built these relationships overseas. It's because of who we are and the years of experience that are on my team and the hundreds of millions of dollars we spent with these factories. All of that's important. So why not bring in someone who can see it with their own eyes, who can understand that, you know, this is not as easy as it seems, but also what I love, it's their baby. So they may see something that you never even saw through the whole engineering process, and they bring that up, and it's all the people on the same team. Kind of what you spoke about, like whether it's product development, marketing content, manufacturing, distribution, everyone's on the same team. We're not against each other. And being able to do that, it's just been an incredible experience. And what fires me up to always work with entrepreneurs, or at least have that first meeting with entrepreneurs, because I knew the second I met them that this would be as successful, and it's turning out to be.
Fantastic. And I just checked out their website. That is a really cool product. I'm excited to see when that comes to market, hopefully very soon. So let's transition a little bit. You know, you talk about passion and understanding entrepreneurs, and I want listeners to understand, you know, you get this because you, that is you, right? Not only did you build this very successful business Implement Now, but you also own a business called catchanddeers.com. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. So this is a clothing company that you own and has been very successful in retail as well as in direct to consumer. So can you describe what this is for the listeners that aren't on the site right now?
Yeah, no, this is a great story. I did not grow up hunting, and some of my best friends, brothers have a hunting camp in Kentucky. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and went up to Kentucky and walked in and asked them if they caught any deers. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. And the city slicker came up there and asked them that. And so they were chirping me, and we made hats that said catching deers, and they were just thumb little trucker hats. And next thing you know, people are stopping us wherever we are. If I'm in the airport, one of my partners played professional hockey for the Preds, and the team was asking him about it. The other brother was in Canada. People were stopping him. And again, this is where I tell you, the market will tell you what they want.
Yeah.
You will know if you have a good product because people will tell you. We're talking about a dollar foam trucker hat screen printed with two words on it. And we're getting stopped. And so we worked to create some content and really show kind of the humorous side of hunting, where everything is just so serious with hunting. And so this is where, you know, working with a team like yourself and, you know, you guys are so good at what you do. It's so important to start that content, to start building that audience, because you roll out a whole product line and nobody knows who you are, you're going to have some struggles. And so we put together a video and we got 4 million views in 30 days and we sold thousands of hats. And again, Implement Now makes everything for catching deers. I'm stuck trying to figure out how to go make these hats that were just a gag gift. And so it started kind of funny, and we start growing it, and people are saying, we want more, we want more, we want more. And to the point where Tractor Supply has their headquarters in Nashville as well. And we are doing, Implement Now does all the premium giveaways for the Nashville Predators NHL team. And we put Catching Deers as one of the sponsors for the item, and Tractor Supply saw that and called us, and we had a meeting, and they did a full nationwide rollout, you know, 1,800 stores of our product. And so it's, again, it's all about knowing that you're doing the right thing, knowing you have the product. But we had to lead with data, right? When I say, you know, what is your plan? What is your business plan? What is your distribution plan? You have to have data to support it. And because we did really well with content, we've done that. So we're opening up in Canada in 2020, and we're just really excited to grow this brand. And it's just been kind of a neat case study. You know, oftentimes people will kind of say, well, you don't know where I'm coming from. And I usually chuckle when they say that because I had to start this company too. But okay, now I can go back to Catching Deers and say, actually, I do.
Yeah.
And this is what we had to overcome. This is what we had to learn. This is a mistake we made, and just be able to kind of coach them through that.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important for any vendor you're working with to have some experience, right? Some level of experience, whether it's a former job or whether it's, you know, like you have done building up an actual company from scratch, a product company, right? So you get it. You know the conversation, you know the struggles they're going through, you know the path to success, and you can really coach them along that process because of your personal experience. It's a really cool line of products. I do recommend that everybody visit the website. Again, I'll put both of Austin's website URLs in the show notes, but you can learn more about him at implementnow.com. If anyone has any questions on trying to get some help in sourcing manufacturing anywhere in the world for, I believe, any type of product, he's a amazing resource. So definitely reach out to him. You can contact him through the website, or feel free to reach out to us at harvestgrowth.com. We can put you in touch with Austin directly as well. And then also check out his line of products line of apparel, Catching Deers, at catchingdeers.com. It's like catching, but without the G, catchingdeers.com. Again, I'll put those in the show notes. But it's a really cool site, really cool designs you've done on this apparel. So Austin, is there anything in this interview that I haven't asked that you think would be helpful for the audience?
No, I think what you guys are doing is incredible. I think even this podcast, and it's just planting seeds. You know, the one thing I hope that I'm able to share with people is, you know, we just want to help, and we may or may not be a fit. It just depends. But, you know, you hate to see people go down to Alibaba. You know, we went and met with a company that was 200 grand in the hole from Alibaba. And when we fixed it and showed them what they could do, you know, by that time they already had to close the company.
Wow.
And they actually had a great product. And, you know, so it's, you know, whether you use me or not use me, or, you know, feel good because, you know, very few people have the resources, have the volume, have the money, the relationships to go directly to a factory. And, you know, they're most likely are working with an agent. And so it's just a matter of time before you're going to be either knocked off. I mean, intellectual property is probably the biggest thing to consider with who you're working with. Not that anyone can control 100%, but when you don't know who you're working with directly and you don't have that relationship or that, you know, just that trust factor, you know, your product's going to get knocked off in about a month. And so there's just things you have to remember. So here to help, here to fire up anyone that needs to be fired up. Transfer of passion is another core value of ours. And just want to be able to help in 2020.
Well, thank you again, Austin. This has been an amazing interview. I feel like I could speak with you all day, and you've got nuggets of information to share that are just endless. But at some point, we got to cut it off. I know you're a very busy man, and you've got to get back to your day-to-day job too. So thanks again for taking the time to meet with me. This is a lot of fun, Austin.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.